can bring this up. Was June of last year. And get rid of all this computer stuff. There we go. Prison ministry today is dramatically changing. It's changing because of the secularism and the political correctness that's permeating everything. And there was a time when prison incarceration meant rehabilitation. And I think last year I mentioned that the Department of Corrections in California completely dropped the word rehabilitation from their title and from their mission. I want to tell you, though, in the past year, we have seen a 250% increase in the number of incarcerated men and women over the age of 55. It is the fastest growing group in our population today, and I'm sure that surprises you. Why is that significant? When I go and call at the Milwaukee County Jail, I do not go to the pods. If anybody's ever been down there, the pods have, they're two tiers of cells that go around, and there's five floors of these and four pods on each floor, and each one containing about 100 inmates. So you're looking at a capacity of about 1,500 people. I go to the infirmary. I'm the only prison ministry person that visits the infirmary. And I'm not quite sure why that is, but it was neglected for many years, and I've been doing it now for six. And it's excellent because it's one-on-one evangelism. It takes time. You know, when I go in there, you can't take your phone, so you're cut off. And so usually I do that on Sundays or late Saturdays, because I know my customers aren't going to be calling me and my friends aren't going to be calling me. And so if they call, they're not going to be surprised if they don't get an answer. But we may have as many as a dozen, 15 people in that infirmary at any particular time. And it shocked me how many of them are elderly. So I did a little research, and the Bureau of Prisons published an analysis this past year that says it is growing at 55 and older, 250% a year. That's surprising. What's even more surprising is that because of the lack of employment and the lack of education, inmates that are released even temporarily on the street while they're waiting for, say, a sentencing or even court, want to go back into jail in order to have a place to sleep and food. And so as you're driving around town, and since I live in the barrio, and what we politely refer to on the other side of the expressway as the beautiful Fifth Ward and Walker's Point, but it's the barrio, you see many, many more people standing on the street corner with the sign, "I'm homeless, I'm hungry," in Milwaukee. And we have other people in the assembly who work with the destitute daily who can tell you that the numbers are not shrinking, they're growing. And I don't know, probably your experience too, Fozzie, is the same. A lot more elderly we're seeing at the rescue mission, in the inner city churches. And of course, we see the overflow into the prisons and the jails. Because they're making that choice to go there in many cases. They're making decisions to go in and reoffend for the least offensive crime they can commit that's going to get them into a jail for 6 months or a year. We actually have a rotating process in the city of Milwaukee called vagrancy, and every November the jail fills up and people are given court dates out in March and April so that they can sit there in our jail system and out at our county house of corrections through the winter. This is America. This is not Siberia. These are active choices people are making every day. So, where do you start? Well, we leave it up to the Lord. He sets our feet on the high hills. And so, I'm going to give you, hopefully, if my computer cooperates here, an update worthy of honoring God and the Lord. I'm trying to get this thing to move. Oh, this is it. Good. Okay. We've already sang the song. All right. So, state of Wisconsin, we have a county jail in every county. So there are 72 of them. We have 6 juvenile correction facilities. That is a doubling in the past decade. And so what we see there are more youthful offenders, younger people. And the rate of women going into jail and prison is tracking at the same rate as men. So where the women were not going to jail, we're not only seeing them in jail, we're seeing pregnancies in jail and prison at an alarming rate, children being born into the system at Tichita and out at Burke. And health care. I think it's easier for politicians to ask for funding a new correctional facility than it is to ask for funding for a mental health facility. And so we're seeing a lot of clinically diagnosed people being incarcerated with really a minimal amount of treatment. Basically antidepressants and sleeping narcotics to keep them unconscious during their incarceration. 20 adult facilities housing still about 21,000, and then we have 16 community correctional centers, and that's where you manage the people who are on parole and probation. So all told, with all of the incarcerations in the state, we're still tracking at around 90,000 inmates, and 90% of those or more will be released back into the community. So it's a cycle. It's a cycle. We are reoffending in this state at a rate of 46%. So you have almost a 50% chance of catching another case, as they say, if you've offended once. And another staggering statistic that I don't have a slide on. 70% of all children who have parents, at least one parent who've been incarcerated, 70% of those children will be incarcerated. Take a gulp. We're past that point of nuclear fission where it just mushrooms. We're past that. So society, our free society, has a very, very heavy burden. And it's costing a lot of money. In this state, the Department of Corrections, which includes both incarceration and community corrections, that budget rivals the UW system. In fact, we spend a little bit more on incarcerating than we do on educating. and Victor Hugo would have a little problem with that. So what's our job? What's our calling? To give the gospel. We can't solve their problems. We can't help those who have been raised in poverty or a lack of education, or a single-parent family in a society who's lost its own moral compass. All we can do is give them the gospel. But that's all any of us can do. And the wonderful thing is that we're seeing more and more staff encourage us in this work. So over the last couple of years, as I reported last year, our work with the chaplains and the administrative staff has really blossomed as well, to the point where we see a reversal, almost a downsizing in our cost, while our outreach has grown exponentially. I'll show you some numbers shortly. But that's what we do, number one, is to deliver clearly and concisely the gospel, that you're a sinner, hopeless and helpless. You are an eternal being. When God breathed life into you at conception, you were and are an eternal being. The question is your eternal condition, besides in the flesh, is your internal position in the lake of fire, or is it at the marriage feast of the Lamb? And I get into some very interesting discussions with people about time and space and how God resides in what John refers to as the third heaven, where the first heaven is that we see to the sky, the second heaven is that from our sky to the end of the universe, and the third heaven is beyond the universe, beyond time. Olam. Beyond. Without time. So he sees everything as it's already unfolding in our lives. We're tied to time. And so we're unable to recognize that we are eternal beings with a moral state either in fellowship with or apart from God. And so when we ask people to be saved, we ask them to understand what they're saved from, the consequences of their sin. And you will be put into a condition one day in which you recognize whether you're in that lake of fire or celebrating at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Now, what's the scriptural basis for that? And I've said this before. Some of you have put up with this. But John writes in Revelation 19 that the marriage feast is come. It's a very unusual translation of the Greek. But it's a recognition that that marriage feast is happening in that third heaven. It's happening. We're just in a condition that's unable to recognize that. And so faith becomes an important part of the conversion process. And we help people understand that the Lord Jesus Christ and what he offers people is not a religion. He's a savior. And that's a blessing, because until they realize that it isn't prosperity gospel, name it and claim it, or at the other end, becoming converted and ushering in the new dominion, building the kingdom, until they understand that it's simply, I'm a sinner, I am destined to something that God has predefined for those who believe and for those who don't. And I have made the choice that I cannot save myself. I appropriate that blood shed by Christ at Calvary. The gospel. Almost half of the prison population that claims a religious affiliation, 47% claim to be Protestant. 12% claim to be Catholic. 10% claim to be Muslim. Now, this might surprise you. Stuck in between that Protestant and Catholic at 13.5% is pagan Wiccans. And that's in Wisconsin. That's the breakdown in Wisconsin. Fast growing. Racially, the largest population is African American. Second is Hispanic. Third is white Caucasian, Wisconsin. And that tracks and parallels with what we see elsewhere, including California, because I'm a long-held believer to the notion that as go California, so goes the rest of the nation 5 or 6 years later. And that's true. Because of the inmate pregnancy rate, the prison system actually was forcing women into sterilization procedures. Now, that was challenged in the courts, and it was decided unconstitutional, but it didn't prevent literally hundreds of women from being sterilized by a democratic and free and open government. If I sound a little sarcastic, it's because I am. Because the United States has the highest rate of incarceration per capita than Russia, than China, than any other country in the world. Therefore, it's also the largest mission field we could have for prison and jail ministry. So the gospel's number one. We deliver courses, and our affiliation is with Emmaus's correspondence school, ECS. But we offer other materials as well from Navigators Press, and we work in concert with the other prison coordinators around the country for other reference material. We'll send in Bibles from the Lachman Foundation, which is NASB, or from Crossway, which is ESV. Because they're convenient and these publishers make it available to us for free. We only have to pay for the shipping. But we offer 145 courses. Every one of the Emmaus courses that are in the correspondence school, including some of the new ones like Managing Anger God's Way, we offer all of them. A third of those are Spanish, and we're one of the only prison ministries in the country that actually grades and provides grading on the Spanish courses for the other prison coordinators. The only exception to that is Texas and California. So if Ma Bell gets something out in Pennsylvania, she sends it to us. So we do all of the Spanish work in addition to what we're doing for the state of Wisconsin. And then last but not least, we encourage individual spiritual growth and discernment based on Scripture. A lot of these men and women have gang affiliations. And when they become Christians, they become persecuted in the environment that they live. So individuality is very, very important. Individual self-paced growth. And without that, we're in grave straits because I do not do many services in the institutions. I do occasionally go in. We've done baptisms. We've done Lord's Supper. But most of the people that go in from churches on a regular Sunday schedule or late Saturday afternoon schedule can come from really any Christian denomination. And so they might have Church of God in Christ. They might have another group in there. And eternal security may not be preached, so we preach it. And we try to keep them in the Word. Simple instruction. Just Stay in the Word daily. We go to the basics. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. How does a young man cleanse his way? By washing in the Word daily. No charge. The staff love that because we can do educational programs because we present ourselves as a school at no charge to the state. No charge to the inmates. And what happens, even the postage is free. We get reply cards. Most of our leads for new students come from cards, and whenever we send out a course, we put in another card or two in there so they can hand it to another inmate, and it grows exponentially. At a rate, we're tracking a little bit less than we had in the past, but I think we're at a saturation point. So it's between 100 and 200 new enrollments per month. And with our access to the old computer database, we're going to grow from about 3,600 inmates. Now we have a pool of 4,000 people that have taken courses in the past that just kind of lost touch over the last 15, 20 years with the prison ministry. But our software that we've developed allows us to find out where they are today and if they're still in the system, to tap them. Let them know the courses are there. And they fill out these cards in both English and Spanish, and they sign them. We're the only prison ministry that requires this in the country, but I think this is in advance of what I think is going to happen elsewhere, because we have had situations where we send materials in, and the mailroom won't allow them through, so then we send them through the education program, and they say, well, this is proselytizing, and we say, no, it's religious educational material, and we have permission from the inmate to send it. It says, I am completing this card for myself, and I authorize said Free Correspondence Ministry to send me religious educational material, and that has taken all those barriers down across the state. We've had no problems, absolutely none. But none of the other, I haven't seen any, I don't mean I shouldn't poll this, I have not polled every prison ministry around the country that's associated with ECS, but I'm pretty certain this is coming, you know, to the other states. One course that we have under attack right now of our we actually have five that are targeted at inmates. This one here, Doing Time with Jesus, which was praised by some very, very good staff a couple of years ago, is now under attack by the Department of Corrections here because it deals with certain topics which can be construed as hate subjects. And I think you know what I'm talking about. So there's a movement in this whole defense of marriage process to sanitize everything, including the dedicated chapter against unnatural sexuality. So this one I have not been able to get in about 6 months, but it's under review. I don't think it'll be allowed. I think we have to rewrite it. It's a great book. 95% of it is acceptable, but they want to soft pedal that topic, and we're going to have to deal with it. In the meantime, when they first get in, this is the gospel message, Born to Win. Everybody gets that. We did about 14,000 of them last year in Wisconsin. Now, that's not to 14,000 inmates. That's mailing to all the prisons, all the jails, in bulk, 14,000 copies. And then the one that they get before they're going to be released, if they're going to be released, is How to Succeed on the Streets. And then in between there, we have various coping studies besides the typical Bible courses that you take, Old Testament, New Testament surveys, books of the prophets, major prophets, minor prophets, the New Testament books, and so forth. Some of these more developmental ones, like dealing with anger God's way. I mean, that's great, managing anger God's way. everybody in prison seems to get anger management assigned to them. And it's been made a joke over the years because of the movies that have come out, and I think Jack Nicholson was in one, or somebody was, and they made fun of this thing. But it's not fun. People are not coping with anger properly. And it's an excellent book that's come out in the last couple of years from Emmaus, and probably a few more. So they're colorful, they look good, they're attractive, and they're in Spanish. So we like that. If we need them for a guy who speaks Hmong, or we have a need for somebody who's strictly French, which we don't have up here, but certainly they do in Louisiana and elsewhere, because of the Haitian involvement and so forth, or Creole, we have to go to the international side of ECS to get those books, because they're typically translated and actually published overseas in their local territories. On the other hand, we have the ability to do it here and handle the Spanish courses. And what we have are these courses divided into remedial, basic, and advanced. We do have a total of 145. The difference is made up on Navigator courses. And these are pretty much the ECS breakdown, this about 110 of just ECS. Remedial is necessary because the average reading level for people in prison today is about 6th, 7th grade. Most have not finished high school. Yeah, and that's the state of Wisconsin. These are pretty shocking statistics. And the process is simple. We send the course and a test. We receive it back. Now, between the time we send it and the time we receive an exam back, depending on the interest of the student, we see about a 50% return. We send it to them. They may have contacted us because they had time on their hands, nothing else to do, and they really weren't interested. That's okay. It's a cost of the ministry. The gospel's there on their desk if they ever want to look at it. Then we grade it, comment it, produce a certificate, and we send that along with the next course. And we're averaging pretty much around 1,100 to 1,200 courses per month. So that's pretty good. We were at 800 the last time I reported. So that was last June. I think that 800 applied to 2011. Through 2012, we kind of crept up there to the 1,000 mark, and then this year we've been tacking at about 1150, plus or minus 25. That's pretty good. That's every month. So we have parties. We have grading parties and boxing parties, and they always occur either the middle of the month and or the end of the month. We try to get the books out middle of the month. We get the courses out the end of the month. And these are not going to the same students. Each student typically does a course a quarter, so about four courses a year, which is pretty good. And it's all self-paced. And the test, again, we're the only ones in the country that are doing this because we wrote the software and we're still debugging and integrating it, so forth. We do computer-based grading. So instead of taking 7 minutes, and some of you have actually done this work by hand in the past, you know, when you're grading these courses by hand, it takes about, on average, 7 minutes. Right? It could take you as little as 3 or 4. It could take as long as 12, depending on your interest and aptitude. We can do 50. We can grade 50 exams objectively in 1 minute. We just stack them in the scanner, and that works great. But there are essay questions. What do you think questions? And those we look for keywords, and we typically comment on the side. And so we have commenters that do that. About a dozen of them from different churches. We've had some from here. And they rotate through. It's a lot of work, but it's a valuable feedback tool to the inmates. And we can, when you get really good at it, you circle keywords on the answers, and we try to stick all one test with one person so they know kind of what to look for and what the keywords are, and you get an amen and an attaboy and a praise the Lord, and, you know, little comments down the side. We're not pen pals, right? We're not pen pals. I had one person who literally took 2 hours to grade one test. He wrote more than the answers on the page. So I suggested he might look into pen pal. It's a ministry, okay? There's a business side of this, right? We try to keep our costs down and keep our production up so that inmates aren't saying, hey, I didn't get my test, I didn't get my thing, you know. For many of these men and women, it's the only contact with the outside world they have. I won't get into all this computer stuff, but this is what it used to be. This was the Old Testament. And by the way, this is what all the other prison coordinators are doing still. They're still taking the handwritten stuff. There's 35 people that work in Texas alone at Right Way, which is where John Daniels, who started our operation, originally affiliated himself. They're all retired people, and they sit in this beautiful building, and they have beautiful computers and stuff like that, but they sit there, and they literally hand type in those 120 answers into a Windows program, and that's what takes so long. And that's limiting. So I'm hoping that we're going to be able to roll out this, we're doing the database side of this too for the prison coordinators. There's work being done at Emmaus on the back end to manage the curriculum, but this is for the people in the field. And this might be useful too for people who are doing Emmaus courses overseas and want to run their schools that way, because this grading will work with any all-in-one scanner printer. You don't need a dedicated fancy thing to do that. And then it'll feed it into a database that you can then pull everything up on your iPad or your Windows machine or your Macintosh or your Android phone or whatever. We don't care. But we'll present that next year at the Prison Coordinators Conference at Emmaus, Lord willing. So we were at 200 courses per month in 2010 when I tell the story that I didn't step forward for this as much as everybody else stepped backwards when they asked for somebody to take this over for the Daniels. And it's living proof. If you remember, 2010 was when Basil and I went to Haiti, and I came back, and I did this big issue in the Christian Courier on Haiti, and I realized, hey, I'm going to go back to Haiti. And 3 months after that, the Daniels announced, or maybe a month or so after that, the Daniels announced they're going to retire. So Emmaus sends out this notice to everybody who's instructing, who wants to take this thing over, and I literally said nothing for 2 weeks. I didn't even reply to the email, because I felt, hey, I'm ready for Haiti. I'm just going back to Haiti. Haiti was really cool. That was a spiritual reboot for me. And I watched the emails go back and forth. Eventually, you know, I'm too old. My eyesight's no good. I don't have any support from my chapel. I don't da-da-da-da-da. I was the last man standing. So ministry is often chosen for you, very rarely by you. And I think I understand now when Paul says you should blossom in your local community, and because that's exactly what this is. In fact, it's hardly a blossom. It's more like an out-of-control mushroom. Because now we're doing 1,100 per month, and that's up from 800 a year and a half ago. So we just keep growing. And it's a blessing. And here's the reason why. I blame it all on the staff in these prisons, because you know what? They're dealing with really nasty people every day who are helpless and hopeless. They have nothing to lose. So this calms people. This gives them hope. It gives them a way to manage it. And we've gotten our cost down from about $10 to process a course to actually even less than 50 cents now, because we dropped, 40,000, 41,000 was our cost in 2011. 2012, we ended up at about 37,000. And now we're tracking this year to be about 27,000 for the operation to send out more courses. How are we doing that? Instead of individually mailing the courses, which again is what most of the prison coordinators do around the country, and they're all complaining about mailing costs, we've networked with the chaplains and the administrative educational staff, and we bulk them. We'll take 50 to 200 courses individually labeled, individually set up in little envelopes. We still do that, but then we take all the envelopes for that institution and put them in a box, and we ship it to the chaplain. Now, what's really great, or the educational director, depending on the institution, what's really great is it puts them in the loop now, and it gives them a reason to see the inmates. Because it's like being called down to the principal's office, right? Nobody wants to get called to the chaplain's office in a prison. You really don't. Anymore than you want to be. The only office you want to be called to is the warden's office to be told you're getting out. Or your social worker's office to be told you're going down in your security level. You're going from maximum to medium to minimum. Otherwise, you don't want to be called anywhere. You just want to sit and do your time. So this gets them involved in the process, and it allows them to report on this educational program, and it gets them in touch with the inmates, so it's also rejuvenated their ministry. And we saw that almost from the outset. We're up 30% over last year in our monthly professions of faith, and I think that's probably proportional to the number of courses we're doing every month too, because that's up almost 50%. So we went from an average of about 14 professions of faith in 2011 to now about 22. Sometimes it's none. Sometimes we'll have 35 of them. What triggers it, believe it or not, I mean, I give God the glory, and I know it's the moving of the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it's just the books that we've sent in. We'll send a whole group of the same course in, and for whatever reason, it might be Blueprint for Your Marriage, and we get this flurry of letters back from the guys. Oh, no, it's how to be a godly wife. We get a flurry of letters back, like from the guy saying, why do I need to know what being a godly wife is all about? I'm a guy. Yeah, well, part of your problem is that you haven't learned to see things from the other person's perspective. And if you're looking for a godly woman in your life, you probably ought to know what God defines that to be. Oh. And it's amazing because we teach them words like coping. They cope differently. They learn to cope with prayer and not passion. And they learn to put themselves in other people's position of seeing things because they realize they're where they're at because they failed to do that. So staff are expressing interest in promoting these, and that's why we're growing. It's really coming from the staff. And we maintain certain recognition. You know, Emmaus recognizes us officially as a prison coordinating operation here in Wisconsin. We are incorporated as a nonprofit, both in the state, 501c3. We're a certified member of the Network of Prison Ministries, the Coalition of Prison Evangelists, and through Wheaton College's new Correctional Ministries and Chaplains Association. It's really not a college thing. It's just located there. That's convenient because they do a conference every year. And then the Institute for Prison Ministry. So there's a lot of networking. What you don't see up there is Prison Fellowship. Prison Fellowship is Chuck Colson's operation. It's a big, massive international thing. And they do what they do very well. But that's not where we're at. We're at personal evangelism. We're at driving individual responsibility in your walk. And then we have these cooperative relationships. And on that 70% of children that are going to be incarcerated, of children whose parent, at least one parent was incarcerated, we do have an outreach with Children Evangelism Fellowship. And they, last year, I think it was 2000, between 2011 and 2012, sent out 4,000 invitations to their correspondent school for children, of men and women who are incarcerated. And heretofore, ECS never had anything, and that's okay. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. CEF is doing it. And it's free to the kids there too. So we have a little insert that goes into the courses, and then the inmate can actually write and sign their children up for it directly. So Bibles I've talked about, what our priorities are, personal relationship to God. Now, what is the results of this? What are the results? I want to share a video with you. I have a 5-minute video. It's rough. This is not copyrighted. We haven't finished it up yet. But it is exactly the impact, if I can get this thing to work, that we're talking about. And I hope I can get this on the right screen. Okay. And if not, I'll finagle this a little bit. You're going to want to see this because this is really an incredible video. I hope the audio is okay, so get ready, Neil. You might have to adjust it. Right. Jailhouse conversion. This fellow is a lifer. So many people go after religious kinds of things in order to garner favor from the staff or from a parole board. I'm not going to say anything. Just kind of read along. Maybe we can down the lights a little bit too. And so he's in for murder. Lifer. Thank you. He's a great guy. We recorded that this summer. And our evangelists are inmates and staff. And it's really quite exciting to see when a life has changed, because he has no chance of parole. He isn't one of these guys walking around with a big Bible pretending in order to put on some appearance so that they go easy on him, which, by the way, doesn't work. But it also keeps the social workers and the psychologists at bay, because they're in there telling them that they use religion as a crutch. Does that guy look like he needs a crutch? I mean, he's really terrific. So we're kind of excited about where that might go. We're hoping it'll be viral. For those of you who don't know what it means to be viral, it means get it out there on YouTube and everybody sees that, but we have to do some copywriting and some other editing and things like that that you do with the video. So you know the verses from Matthew. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And we come to them in every course. We come to them with every certificate. We come to them with every graded exam. Occasionally, we come to them in ways that we would never suspect. For example, back in the early spring time, there was a fire in which two boys were burned. And again, through the actions of brothers in Christ and referrals and, of course, the hand of God, because we don't believe in coincidences at all, I was asked to do the service for the family. And we did it at West Allis's elementary school, and the gospel was given to about 800 to 900 people in attendance. And some of the people that were there were motorcycle gang members, and we've started a relationship, our ministry, with some of the people who are in that gang and are in prison as a result of their leader coming up at the end and saying, that was really a cool message. And I said, yeah, it's a pretty easy one to tell. Who are you? And he said, I'm the president of the Outlaws Motorcycle Gang here in Milwaukee. And he looked important. I mean, he had people around him. And was, I mean, he looked pretty tough, actually. And I said, well, it's interesting because I do a prison ministry work. He says, you do? Let's talk. So we did. At a bar. I didn't drink. But we talked. And that's another source of referrals, I guess, if you look at it that way. I want to talk just briefly one more thing, and then I'm going to sing a song, and you can sing along if you know it. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. That's an amazing testimony. So I'll put the words up for this next song, which is actually our theme for this year. It's called Touch the Hand of Love. And you're welcome to sing along if you know this song. I have to do this. Get to the end. T- technology just as terrible. The older I get, the more I realize it. I don't know how I've made money in this field. I feel guilty sometimes. Oh, see? All right. Well, you can see the words, hopefully, if you want to sing along. And let me bring it up. We may have to turn that up a little bit. Okay. Finally. Sorry. Touch the hand of love, let him calm your troubled mind, and caress your tender sorrow. Know the hand of love as you weary road, as you travel your tomorrows all alone. You may have to wander far over thorns that bleed and scar you, and those rocky mountains you must climb will try to blind you. Touch the hand of love as you walk that weary road. Let him hold your tender sorrow as you travel your tomorrows alone. These are not invisible people. These are tens of thousands in this state and millions across this country who, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, are hopeless. And our society is hopeless without that gospel. We're not in Laodicea. We're in Wauwatosa. And it's my prayer that people will be moved to serve the Lord in any way they can. You may have to wander far over thorns that bleed and scar you, and those rocky mountains you must climb will try to blind you. Touch the hand of love as you walk that weary road. Let him hold your tender sorrow
as you travel your tomorrows alone. Good night and God bless. Thank you.